And so our Lent progresses. Today our Gospel reading records events in Jesus' life that took place just 5 days before Passover, 2,000 years ago. That day we now memorialize as Holy Thursday. And yet the plan for our salvation didn't begin with Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection. Could it be that God planted within us a desire to reach out to Him, to live good lives, and to feel sad when our thoughts and behaviors come up short? We need to consider that question in preparation for our reflection on the gospel. For all sacred scripture is an unfolding of revelation that culminates in Jesus' life and mission. Let's explore our responsorial song. Today's section is taken from Psalm 51, written 1,000 years before Jesus walked the earth. It's a very familiar psalm to those of us that pray the liturgy of the hours, the daily prayers of the church. For this psalm is unfailingly prayed every Friday morning in morning prayer, and most especially Good Friday. Tradition says this psalm or poem or song was composed by King David after being confronted by Nathan the prophet, who called him out for committing adultery with Bathsheba and plotting to have her husband Uriah killed in battle. The 51st Psalm records David's true contrition and his pleading to God to create within him a clean heart and a steadfast spirit. I invite all of us to read the entire Psalm this week. Perhaps after your examination of conscience, before you go into the penalty box, as our pastor calls to the confessional for sacrament of reconciliation. Because couldn't it be our prayer? Create a clean heart in me, O God. David reminds us to seek God's grace and help. When we rely on our own strength and will, no matter how rigorous and intense our efforts are, we will fail to live the life to which we are called. And that's not new either. Some 500 years after David, we heard this morning Jeremiah consoling the people who remained in David's desolated and conquered kingdom. God promised through Jeremiah to establish a new covenant that is a deep, committed relationship between the Lord and His people, even though that same chosen people had rejected God time and time again. We could say they made idols out of their egos. But the Israelites are not alone. Ego worship still prevails in our world today. But what about today's gospel? There are some puzzles here. And the first is those mysterious Greeks who approached Andrew and Philip but are never discussed. Who were they? They were seekers of God, looking for answers to the important life questions that could not be explained by any other pathway. Their seeking out Jesus clearly demonstrates that the Lord came to guide, transform, and save all the people of the world. And we zero in on that last portion of today's gospel, in which Jesus, knowing full well what is about to happen to him in just 5 days, shows his resolve to complete the purpose for which the Father sent him. And there's a lesson for us there. After all, We know everything that Jesus says in the gospel is meant to teach us. And as we've all experienced, our faith as Christians doesn't free us from challenges, troubles, and pain. As followers of Christ, we do share in his triumphs, but we also share in his pain. And then we have God the Father making himself known when his voice is heard in answer to Jesus' plea, "Father, glorify your name. I have glorified it and will glorify it again," the Father said. How would we respond if we were part of that crowd that morning? Would we too, as objective, rational people, reject hearing words and just chalk it up to some amazingly timed thunder? Are we sometimes today deaf to the still small voice of God within us and label it intuition? Or are we blind to the evidence of answered prayers in our lives that we chalk up to lucky coincidence? But what about that image of a grain of wheat falling to the ground that we skipped over? Just as the seed can only reach its full potential through being planted and transformed, Jesus knew and hurried toward his own death and his planting in the borrowed tomb, and his transformation in his glorious resurrection. His model is there for us to follow if we obey his directive to die to ourselves as the first step in our transformation into who we are called to be. Obey. The God-inspired author of our second reading from Hebrews tells us, Jesus became the source of eternal life for all who obey him. That's another lesson for us all to learn or relearn this Lent. Obedience. I don't know about you, but that word dredges up all sorts of very disagreeable memories for me. Chores my parents had me to do, endless chores. Those crazy bosses I had when I was working, yeah, I had to obey them too. And on and on. But obedience is a crucial part of our faith in another way. God has given charisms to all of us. Charisms, from the Greek word meaning favor or grace, are those gifts or talents we possess that are intended by God for us to use to enrich the lives of all the others around us. I know, for example, when from coming up and down the aisle with Father Tim at the beginning and ending of Mass, some of you have great voices. Join the choir. They would be glad to have you, and we would be glad to hear you up there. Some of you have a charism or a gift for explaining things and offering encouragement. Tutor your kids, your grandkids, or somebody else's grandkids. Use that gift. Some of you have, and you know who you are, you make friends wherever you go. Use that grace and be intentional about encouraging and leading those friends to Christ. Whatever charisms you have should be offered to God to do God's work. That's how we find true, lasting, gratifying joy, as opposed to the small, simple, fleeting, momentary, tiny happinesses we so often settle for. We've come full circle this morning. We, like David, are aware of and repent of our shortcomings. We long for the peace and fulfillment Jeremiah promised to the people of his day and to us in ours. Jesus showed us the way in the gospel to die to ourselves and offer ourselves to God, who will thunder his approval of us. And Hebrews tells us to just obey Jesus. Let's pray about that, but let's make our prayers intentional and specific. I offer a prayer here of, and my French is really terrible, Saint Charles de Foucault, canonized 2 years ago by Pope Francis. And this is what he prayed. Father, I abandon myself into your hands. Do with me what you will. Whatever you do, I thank you. I'm ready for all. I accept all. Let only your will be done in me and in all your creatures. I wish no more than this, O Lord. Into your hands I commend my soul. I offer it to you with all the love of my heart, for I love you, Lord, and so need to give myself, to surrender myself into your hands without reserve and with boundless gratitude. For you are my Father. Amen. Now, that's not a bad way for us to tell God we give him ourselves. To him, this Lent, in gratitude for us giving his Son to us. Let's think about that.